Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 143 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And this is Mark Vila, and today we're going to talk about eating the frog or stop doing things you hate.
So, I mean, first, before you talk about the episode, I just want to say that if you've listened to us before, you know two things. Mm. Mark Vila does close-up magic during every episode.
Only on camera.
And then I'm vegetarian. So we don't really mean eat the frog. It's not going to happen. You guys can all relax.
I actually have this really cool coin trick, but it's in the other room. So maybe I'll get it later or something. We'll see.
Please, as soon as I sign off.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about, like, if you get into talking about something really boring, then I'll just get up
and I'll just go. I like that idea, actually.
And I'll do it. Okay. So why don't you give us an introduction to this?
Sure. Site. Sure. So if you're familiar with Eat the Frog, it's a Brian Tracy book. And it's kind of like it's a time management book with a sales bent. And I read it years ago. And if you look in the show notes, I put in a link to a free download. All you have to do is submit yourself to Never Ending Marketing from Brian Tracy's organization, which they're very good at it. I'm perfectly willing to do that. But the idea behind the book is it's a list of ways to stop procrastinating. Mm-hmm. And if you are a solopreneur or you run a small company, you know that there's a huge list of things on your to-do list all the time, just like there are on Mark's and mine. And Brian Tracy's idea in Eat the Frog is that you're gonna take the thing that you hate the most, the thing that you most don't want to do that you need to do, and you're gonna do that the first of every day.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's become like an idiom a bit in business, where you kind of just you wake up, you get to your office, you sit down, and you say, all right, I'm going to eat the frog. And you look at your tasks, and you're like, okay, you know, I have to call this one customer who was particularly upset, or I've got to go and do some spreadsheet work that's going to be really boring. So you just start with that, you get it done. And it's actually motivational too, because then when you're done with it and you're like, rest of the day, breezy.
And the logic is good because, you know, these are the tasks that you are literally going to find if there's anything else that you can do, even if it's unimportant. Yeah. You know, like I'd rather drive to the post office and drop off a letter than I would do some of the tasks that I have in a day, you know? So I'll purposely not use the mailbox so I can avoid this stuff. And everybody's got something like that.
Mm. And you can really develop bad habits in avoiding those things where you, just like you said, and your example, you know, is a real example or not, but there are plenty of examples like it where you could just take the letter and go outside and just drop it in that Dropbox right outside your door. But for some reason you justify driving to the post office and adding a half hour's worth of work to your day because you're trying to avoid something else. And there's jokes in movies and TV shows all the time where somebody's like, trying to avoid something in a sitcom. So they refold all the laundry because they didn't like the way they folded it the first time just to avoid that. And that's kind of what that turns into with what you're talking about as well.
Yeah. So if you are one of our listeners that is working on or thinking about or starting their side hustle, so you've got the day job, then you particularly know what this is about because you want to get home to do the stuff that you want to get home to do. You know, so you'll avoid a multitude of tasks to get there faster.
I had to roll back there visually if you're watching to handle this dog chewing this toy because it was too much for me.
It's the fake chicken foot.
Yeah, I thought it might have been too much for you guys if you could hear Jack back there doing his thing. So anyway, I digress. So this is a concept that I learned probably 20 something years ago. I'm not sure. I don't recall when this book was published. I was trying to look just before the podcast, but I didn't pull it up. But I had first read this book probably 20 years ago when I was in school. And I remember from back then actually taking some of the advice from that. Yeah. And when I would used to have to do a few different pieces of homework, the first thing that I would do would, I would just do the most annoying one first. You know, I would just do the big, you know, physics type of thing or math or whatever was the hardest. I would do that. And then I would always try to actually just work down then. This way, the last thing was just like the easy peasy project, the easiest thing to read, the easiest thing to do. Because also what I like about this logic is in the beginning of the day, your energy is full, right? You've slept, had breakfast and coffee, and then now you're working. And then as the day goes through, theoretically, your energy diminishes and eventually you must sleep again. Right. So I like the idea of doing the harder thing. And then towards the end of the day, when you have the easiest stuff, the stuff you're naturally excited to do, that you're motivated to do, then the fact that your energy level is a little bit lower, your mental clarity is a little bit lower, it's okay because you're happy to do that. So
I think at this point, everyone can tell that we usually record our podcast late afternoon. Normally on a Thursday or Friday. So it's the end of the week. And we do that, you know, strategically because we enjoy it. We get a lot out of it. And it's exciting for us to, you know, to talk to you guys and to see if we can't help move you forward, help you move the ball forward a little bit. And like most of our episodes, this one is based on it's really today's experience too. Mm-hmm. Because Mark and I had a meeting this morning, and the result of it was trying to figure out, you know, what are the tasks that we're good at? What are the tasks that are most financially productive? What are the tasks that we don't want to do that take up a lot of time? You know, it's kind of this prioritizing, which is what really it's what that whole Eat the Frog book is about. It's being more productive by prioritizing in different ways. So, you know, we were in that place today and thought of this book and thought that we'd use Brian Tracy's methods to kind of walk you through what we've been thinking.
Yeah. And then we have our own twist at the end.
Yeah.
So how about let's go right into the ABCDE
method. Yeah. I have a hard time with the E. what Mr. Tracy, we're not on a first name basis, what Mr. Tracy talks about in his book is to make a list of all your tasks that you have to do in a day, or a month or a week, however you want to start, you know. But if you do it for a day, just make a list of everything that you have to do every day, and then you're going to grade them according to the ABCDE method.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so after you make the list, you know, you're going to go through that, your task list, and pick the A items. And I think you just naturally will be able to figure out what those are. Right.
Yeah. They just make sense. They're A. You have to finish an order. You've got to pay a bill. You've got to, you know, make a delivery, whatever it is. It's something that's what I would say is due today. You know,
if
you
don't. And it's also like measured in consequences, which I really like that word. Because there are some things that you may think you have to do today, but there's no consequences if you don't.
I just fell in love with that without thinking about it before.
There you go.
Because it's really easy to think you have to do something today. All the time that happens in everybody's life all day, right? Somebody wants you to your husband or wife wants you to clean out something in the garage, you know, like you need to do some laundry, you know, you need to pay your electric bill, you know, all of these different things. And a lot of the consequences that's typically how I make decisions anyway, is kind of based on the consequences. If I'm, if it's like, hey, I need you to, you know, I need you to do this laundry or pay the electric bill, as those two examples, what's the consequence? Okay. If I don't do the laundry now, I might have to stay up later or right. wake up earlier to do it, to have the clothes to wear. Right. But if I don't pay the electric bill and it's due tonight, then the power goes off and then I definitely can't do the laundry.
So here, the first thing that runs to my head is you do the laundry because it makes your significant other happy.
Yeah.
And it'll take 2 weeks for the electric company to shut your power off. Yeah. So,
well, I'm talking about the scenario where you have no clean clothes.
Okay.
And they've, this is the 14th day of the 2 weeks.
Yeah, there you go. So a more work related example might be that if you don't get out and personally deliver this product, then a customer is going to cancel their $4,000 order.
Mm-hmm.
Those are consequences. That's an important item. Another, you know, maybe on your A-list is you have to update your website because some of those products are out of stock.
Yeah.
So when you look at those two things, there are potential consequences to not updating your website. There are actual realizable consequences to not delivering that product.
Yeah. Yeah. Having that customer cancel their order or never buy from you again is going to cost you thousands and thousands of dollars over time. And if we talk about older episodes with the lifetime value of customers, you could be talking about tens or hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Right. If $4,000
order. Good way to look at it.
And if the worst case, if somebody orders something on your website that's out of stock, is you have to call them up and say, hey, sorry, it's out of stock. So what's the worst consequence? Deliver that order first. But these are both A items, right? And really what we're talking about there are measuring the consequences of things, you know? So these aren't necessarily, this isn't exactly about choosing which one to do first based on eating the frog. I think we're just talking about how to define an A item.
Yeah, we'll get to the amphibian angle.
Yeah. Okay. So next is a B item. These are things you should do, but are not as important as A. So in the scenario you provided, I might describe the delivery as an A. The remove the item off the website might be a B.
True.
Right? Because you should do that. The consequence is really not too bad. A customer might order a product that wasn't popular anyway, and you have to call them up and say, sorry, here's a replacement. That's not the worst thing that can happen in your business.
Yeah.
And the consequence is mild, you know?
And so do this either in a Google Doc or write it in pencil, because I think what'll happen and what happened to me is, you know, you make the list and you're going to change your mind. You know, what's an A and what's a B in particular, because as you go down your list, you know, you'll see like maybe ones that you remember later just have higher consequences or lower. It causes you to reprioritize.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's okay. So a B are things that you should do, but there's only a mild consequence to not completing the task.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, not delivering that order, major consequence, because it's going to have a long-term impact.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you can't delay it until the next day.
Yeah. It's
not should do is something like you should really make sure that if you advertise that you have stock on an item, that you actually have stock.
Mm-hmm.
It has customer service ramifications. It's not that it's not important. It's just doesn't have the same level of consequences as an A task might.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. And we've got A and B, right? We don't think we need to dig further into it. So that makes perfect sense to me. I think that's pretty clear. Next we have C. So a C is an item that has no consequence. They're nice to do, but not essential. And they're not going to contribute to the long-term success of your personal life or career. So a C item might be you wanted to hang up a new painting in your shop. You thought it looked nice and you got it at Marshall's for $6.99.
It's very specific.
And it's nice and you thought it was cute, so you bought it and you wanted to hang that up today. If you never hung up that painting ever and just left it in the box, in the bag, in the back office, it's not really going to have any impact on your business at all. It's nice. And it makes your shop look nice. And a customer might come in and look at it and say, that's a nice painting. Where'd you get it? And you could say, oh it's a rare artist.
I got it. Rare artist.
It's a rare artist. I got
There's only one of them. There's only one. There's only that one.
Gallery when we went to Italy.
So with C, I think like this is the danger zone.
Yeah.
Because this is where like you have this list. When you get to the C's, I bet it's chock full of things that you really would like to do.
Yeah.
Like, these are the things that I want to do. What do I want to do? I want to mess around with my logo. I want to call a few friends that buy stuff from me occasionally and just chat them up a little bit. You know, I want to try a few new things out on the embroidery machine.
Yeah, you want to try the new Thai restaurant for lunch.
There you go. You know, so and this is super important because, you know, these are the things that you probably do at your day job to fill up your day. Right? So this is what you're doing to fill up your day at your day job because it's not costing you any money. When you do things that have no consequences and you fill up your time with that to the exclusion of the A's and B's in your business, this is where you start getting into the yellow zone, right? Because you're not accomplishing things that move your business forward. You're accomplishing things that you enjoy.
Yeah.
Which is, it's different.
Yeah, and actually an interesting psychological thing with that too is these might not even be things you necessarily like or don't like, but they're time fillers that you just do. And mentally they might make you feel like you did something. We actually discussed that today too.
Yeah.
That I said, I don't like having to do these little things on the website like update a SKU number or the weight of an item. Like it's a C item, right? For me it is. For some other person it's not, right? For the accounting department, the SKU is critical for them. It might be an A, but for me it's I'm changing a letter A to a letter B, and it's just a thing that I'm doing on the website. But sometimes it's nice to do them because I feel accomplished. I did something today.
And by the way, this is a problem in marketing. I just want you to know that like, as you go forward in your business, a psychological problem in marketing your business is that you're never finished with anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a joy for us to finish an article and see it on the website, even though we have to do another one immediately afterward.
Well, and the other thing is that it's nice to do, but not essential. You might go onto your Facebook profile or your Google profile or website and just be updating stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And these are things that they actually might not have any consequences. So again, C is a real tricky one. I think A and B are really simple, but C is because sometimes you think an item will have a consequence when it doesn't, but you believe that it's important, but it's not. And so I think this is like one of those things where self-awareness is really important.
Right.
And you say you have OCD, but no doctors clinically told you.
Right. Right.
But you really want to have this thing fixed and straight and right. So you're going to do it because you've tricked yourself into doing it to avoid a possible big frog.
Yeah. So there is a term for this when you are writing or when you're creating graphic that you have to pronounce very carefully. It's called futzing.
Futzing. Okay.
F-U-T-Z.
Yeah. Okay.
And what it means is you've got something perfectly good in front of you, but you keep working on it.
Oh, okay.
You know, because this is what you like to do. You know, like if you've ever read, and you must have read, if you've been on any of the websites, something that I've written, and it's never perfect because I refuse to go back through it more than half a time to see if everything is correct and spelled right and if I want to change anything. You know, so that futzing can, especially when we start talking about stuff that you enjoy doing, you know, if you really enjoy digitizing, you can spend an endless amount of time playing around stitch directions, underlayment, you know, I mean, what are you going to, you know, there's an infinite variety of ways to accomplish a task. And if you're into it, you'll try all of them instead of doing maintenance on your machine.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you started this one right. C is a bit of it's a dangerous zone for your tasks, you know, but so pay attention to it. The next we have is the D. So mm-hmm. delegated items. These are items that somebody else has to do. An example of that is if you have an embroidery shop and you do small run t-shirts and embroidery, and then you have a big order that you're sending out to, say, a screen printer, you've got to place that order today. It's a delegated item. Would that be a good example?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it's even I think the operative word is that you should delegate it.
Okay.
You know, so when you get down to these tasks that you should delegate, they do have some kind of a consequence for your business, but you can't or won't develop or have the capabilities to accomplish it.
So this might be like, it could be filing taxes.
It could be. I mean, it could be that you've got a single head embroidery machine and a 100-piece hat order.
Okay. So that could be similar to that screen print and small run type of an option.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be that, you know, it's stuff that it does mean something. So you're willing to write somebody else a check to do it, but you've got to decide.
Okay. So part of when you're making your list is you're looking at your A, B's and C's. And then sometimes you look at an item and you say, this should be a D item today. I should delegate this to someone today. So that might be, you have a single head embroidery machine and you have a really big job. So you're going to delegate it out to somebody else, or it might be doing your taxes or installing a new electrical socket in the wall for your heat press. You know, you're not in the position. D items are important.
Yeah. Maybe even want to go back up to the A's and B's. And just recognize whether or not you might want to change something to a D.
Yeah. Which is, so that's interesting too, you know, because the way I'm looking at it, a D, couldn't an A be a D? And is it an AD then? This is a question for Brian, not for you, but you have to answer it now. Because you have to do this.
Since the debates are going on right now.
Okay.
I will answer it in that vein.
So you're just going to answer something completely different then?
Absolutely. I'd like to talk about the tax plan. This is what I think. The taxes are going to have a big impact on A's and B's.
Interesting. So an item like an A could be delivering the products. And it's a really important thing for you to do. But it's not, because the items just have to be delivered today. And you have somebody who is very capable of delivering things. So you change that A to a D, because you can delegate, hey, take those two boxes down to the, you know, Joe's sandwich shop.
Yeah.
He needs the t-shirts today.
Good example. Good example. Because it could be, you have to say why it's, you know, if it's an A, why should you do it? You know, if you're the business owner, you know, it has to be delivered today. I have to do it because Joe's my most important customer. And every time I deliver something, I bring him a cookie and shake his hand.
Yeah. Okay. You know, and now we get another order.
Yeah. Or it could be that, no, it just has to be there today. And you can pick up the phone and call Bob's delivery service. And you've delegated that appropriately.
Yeah. Okay. Then I like that. So D is the problem with D, where people will avoid D's, are two things. One is control. They don't want to ever delegate out any control over something, because nobody will ever do it as good as you.
Or
D can cost money.
Yeah.
And you're trying to not spend money because you're a new business, you're a small business, you're on a shoestring budget. You have uncertainty in what's going to happen with your business in next month, whatever it might be. So you don't want to spend money, or no one else will be able to do it as well as you. So a trick you can do with that to help get past that is start with some foolproof things to delegate. Like, you know, just like that are cheap. Have your teenage kid clean up the shop by picking up the trash and then offer to buy them McDonald's for it.
There you go.
It's like $6 and right. and almost foolproof because it's picking up trash. You could start with little things like that in the delegation. And that's something that I'd read a while before where they said, you know, how to cure yourself from being a control freak at work. And they said, delegate smaller things. And then once you get good at that, then step up the next ladder. And then eventually you'll get to the point where you'll trust somebody to do something that's extremely important. And then you'll just jump on them.
We do that internally, you know, we're getting Hannah, our marketing assistant, to do more copy, to write articles. So, you know, we would have her to write emails. So we would delegate that. And for the first week, 2 weeks, month, we would look at every single one and we would talk it over. And now we don't even look. You know, or we'll check in once a month or something along those lines. And you can do that same process.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, but really important, getting some D's on your list will help you grow your business because you can only go so far.
I think that one important tip for this is to get a sticky note and write down your worth per hour.
Yeah.
So if you're a $50 an hour worth, or you have think about your business and what you're worth to the business. If it's 10 bucks an hour, if it's 50, if it's 250, write that number down and stick it on a sticky note on your computer or on the wall next to it. And every time you're looking at these tasks, look it up at that number and consider that you're paying that to accomplish this task.
Yeah. You're paying possibly $100 an hour to clean up your shop. That takes 30 minutes. Deliver an order. So you delivered an order and cleaned up the garbage in the shop. And that took you 1 hour and cost you theoretically $100 for that hour versus the teenage kid would have done it for McDonald's and a movie theater ticket, you know, which actually a movie theater ticket's almost $100 now, I guess.
It's crazy. $1 million to go to the movie.
You've offered to let them rent a movie off Amazon Prime for $3.99.
Right. Or you could take out a mortgage and buy them some popcorn and a Coke at the movie too.
Yeah.
So we like, this is always in the back of my head when we have meetings, we have management meetings and things like that. If myself and Mark Vila and two of the other managers are on a Zoom call for 30 minutes or an hour, that costs the company a significant amount of money. Mark Vila makes $1 million a year at this job. If he's in a meeting for half an hour, you know, that's $1,000. But you know, this kind of approach, you know, this thinking about, we talk about it a lot in different ways in all seriousness. It's, you've got to value your time at some kind of a number. And you can be flexible about it, of course. And when you're just starting out, you're going to make allowances. But you should really think about what you're worth and what a D actually is in response to that number.
Yeah, and it's good. It's another great one to practice and exercise and learn to do. Because if you think of just large businesses that have grown, you know, to, you know, even just Coldesi as a business, you know, the owner of Coldesi is not, most of those daily tasks are not being done. He's decision making.
Right.
And watching where the ship is headed and things like that. And if you want to grow your business to that point, where maybe you run the business and your husband or wife does something else and you have a couple employees that do something else and you're getting ready to pass it on to your kids that do other things, even though you might know how to do everything, you also need to know that if you're not there that day, the business still runs. You know, and you can, that's how you build this legacy of a business, is where the business can exist without you. And that's when, if you're looking to pass your business on, this is something I read too.
Yeah.
If you're looking to pass your business on to your, say your children or somebody else, then eventually you will not be there.
Right.
So can you get the business to that point? If the goal is and we hear this all the time when we surveyed customers, so many people say they want something to pass on.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that and you are, and you can't get every, if you can't envision every task getting to a D, then you can't pass it on.
Yeah. I love that, because you don't want to pass on a job.
Yeah.
You know, because if you can't delegate anything, if you're doing it all yourself, if you don't have a method for getting to the next level, then really it's great. You're working for yourself.
Yeah, which is great.
But that's different than having a business, right? Yeah, I mean, you have a business, but it's different. A business is something that exists independent of what you're doing every day. It's like, it's the same attitude that we have towards profit. Real profit is money that you're not using to pay yourself or to fund the business. It's extra money.
Yeah, it's just money that hangs out. Yeah, right. I like this concept, and I like thinking about your business in this way will help you determine where you want it to go. So this got very philosophical in D right now.
We'll
move on to E, which is eliminate.
This is my favorite one.
Yeah, I know you like this one.
Because you're gonna make a list of all the tasks you have to do, and eventually you're going to realize there's a bunch of them that you don't have to do.
Yeah, no consequence. You don't like doing it. It's not essential. It's literally you just don't have to do it.
Yeah. Somehow you got the idea that these are the things that you had to do.
Yeah. What might that be? Here's a trick question.
Well, I'm turning off the mic right now because it's the podcast.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Thank you. No, listen, the tasks that have no consequence are the ones that you already gave an example. Cleaning up your shop, you may have to do it monthly or semi-annually, but if you're still functioning every day and it doesn't drive you crazy, you do not have to do that.
Okay. Meaning like you don't necessarily have to go through the whole shop area and say sweep and dust and check everything that it's in the right order and all that stuff every single day. Because if you're doing your work properly every day and you're weeding vinyl with the trash can next to you, then there is no trash.
Well,
and all you're doing is you're running around and doing something for the sake of doing something that won't actually accomplish anything.
Yeah. And also I did that to kind of pander to people that listen to the podcast that just don't like to clean. I'll use this local customer. I was shocked. I went into their shop. And, they walked me through and gave me the tour. It was really cool. And we got up to their screen printing setup, which they really use all the time. They use it all the time. And there must have been 4 inches of dust on it. Like, I'm surprised it didn't interfere with the screens themselves. Because the only way it was ever cleaned was, as everything moves, that's the only dusting it got, had no impact on their business. Right. Obviously, it had been that way for a decade or more.
Yeah.
You know, they took meticulous care of the mechanical parts of the equipment. They didn't bother to clean it. So, I mean, this is just a funny example, but you are going to get to that list of stuff that you're going to realize after you do A, B, and C and D, there's going to be stuff that you don't have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Hopefully. You don't have a lot of E's on your list.
Yeah.
Right? And if you don't, that means you're not wasting a lot of time doing a bunch of things that you don't have to do. I'm actually stumped for a really good example of E stuff. Okay.
I mean, you don't have to go to your Facebook page every 5 minutes.
There you go.
You know what I mean? You don't have to maintain a Twitter account. No one does.
Yeah.
You know, that's so if you're on Twitter for business or personal purposes during the day, you know, unless you have a specific niche market that uses it, you're probably wasting your time in marketing. You can eliminate that.
And right? Also,
If you're checking LinkedIn and you don't have any corporate clients and you don't want any, then you probably just eliminate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually a really good one. So, oftentimes, E's are unwritten. Then I would say, because you sit there and you scroll through your Instagram or your Facebook and stuff like that, and then it becomes a task you're doing, and it eats up a bunch of time. And now you're commenting, under a big thread for no reason, no function on your business.
Yeah,
no. If you would have not done it, nothing would have happened. if you wouldn't have responded to that political post that was 15 minutes worth of typing that raised your blood pressure, you didn't change anybody's mind ever.
Yeah, that's true.
Never done that. So don't do it, especially during your business time. If you want to do that during your free time, I mean, hey, it's your life.
Right.
But for your business, you go on Facebook to do, you check for if there's comments you need to respond to on your page, you check for reviews, you maybe update an image and do marketing tasks that we talk about in other podcasts, but you don't need to go through and look through everything and spend an hour every day doing it, especially if you've got A, B, and C tasks up there that need to be done.
Yeah, and I think that's good. And the last thing I'll say about ease is you're probably right. They're probably not on the list of tasks that you set out to do in a day.
So watch out for them.
I think that's it. If like maybe at the end of a day, if you list everything that you did.
Okay.
And then graded them in retrospect, find a lot of ease.
That sounds great, actually. Yeah. If you're looking to improve your time management and what you do during the day, at the end, write down everything that you did. And then you could probably grade them at that point in time too. And then you could say, I could have delegated that. This was an A. I'm glad that I did it. This was a B. I'm glad I did it. This was an E. Why did I do this?
Right.
I spent this time doing that. That's great.
I like that.
We have a CAS approach.
Yeah. So just to recap on the Brian Tracy thing, the idea behind Eat the Frog is it's disgusting and terrible. Eat the Frog.
Oh yeah,
we just thinking about it.
Yeah.
So his philosophy is you make that list and you find the things that you hate and you really don't want to do, but you have to do, and you do those first.
So your A's and B's basically. A yep. first and B second. You look at your A's and you look at your B's and you say, what's the worst one? Which one stinks the most? Which one is the ugliest one? Right. And what you're doing is you've got, say, if you have two A's, he's saying that you have two frogs, that your job is to eat these two frogs and you don't want to do either of them. So what you do is you eat the frog first. Well, if you have one frog, I'd say you eat the frog first, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Now it's done. Like you suffered through it and it's done. And if you have two frogs that you have to eat, then you eat the uglier, bigger, worse one first. You get that out of the way, right? And then you do the next one. And then eventually there's no more frogs to eat and you can move on with your day. You know, enjoying good things like that Thai place.
This is the only episode we've ever recorded that's making me just a little bit nauseous. It's terrible. So we have our kind of our own take on this as well. And it's actually something something we were talking about today is what we'll call the CAS approach.
Okay.
Would be to equally go through and do the A, B, C, D, E kind of method, maybe before, maybe at the end of the day to see how you did. And then additionally grade these things on both how much you hate doing them and how objectively good at it you are.
Okay. So a simple example would say that you particularly hate making you hate doing your bookkeeping.
Yeah,
you just dislike it. So you'd rate that on a scale of 1 to 5. How much do you hate it? 5. Then how good are you at it? Bad. 1.
Right.
You make mistakes all the time. So at a 5 hate and a 1 good, this is a ready an item that's turning into a D.
You've right. got it. It's absolutely
one. The 5 hate and the 1 good is immediately a D item, and you look for those items to delegate. You know, so that's part of what this rating scale, I'd say, would be looking for items to delegate or helping you to look for those frogs.
So are we looking for the size and the flavor of the frog? That's really
yeah, yeah.
So
guide the ugliest frog. You know,
yeah.
It could be a guide for that.
So I um So personally, I actually, when the, you know, when the Brush and Bake and the Pro Spangle and the Spangle Elite first came out, I learned Hotfix Era and I really liked it. Like I like figuring it out. I like, you know, I like messing with it. It's cool and it's very satisfying to finish a design. It's one of those things that we don't get to do very often. You get to complete something and then it's done. You know, I'm not good at it. Like I can do it and I kind of enjoy it. I don't create good things. I can do a circle fairly well.
Nice.
Right. But you know, I'm not good at it. So, you know, that's something that I delegate to, you know, if we need a spangle design, we used to go internally and ask Alan if he could do something or Sean, Mark will do something. But you guys do it better. So lately we've been asking you for help. You spend all day doing it. Many of you really love doing the designs and you're really super good at it. So that's kind of us realizing that, okay, I don't hate doing it. Like I'm actually like a, you know, what is it? A two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. And then, good, you know, I'm a zero, right? I'm a .01.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've come up with a solution for that. So maybe that's your situation too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe one of the most important things in your business is digitizing for embroidery. Super important.
Yeah.
And you're good at it, but you hate it. Or you love it and you're terrible at it. So you should immediately find somebody else to do that.
Yeah. And I'm not good at digitizing. I'm not good at graphic arts. I can play around with some stuff and I don't mind doing it. I can add some lettering and I can do the basic stuff, but to, say somebody say, all right, create me a graphic of somebody eating a frog. I could not do that and make it look good. So I kind of like playing around with that stuff. It's fun. You know, it's fun to me. So I do it for fun when it's for fun, but I don't ever do it for work. I try to never do it for work. I use Coldesi Graphics, right? So coldesigraphics.com, you know, you can go there and you can get your digitizing done. If you're not good at digitizing, you should go to Coldesi Graphics, right? Or if you hate doing it, you should go there. The opposite scenario is if you love doing it and you're really good at it, well then, I mean, you're living the dream.
Yeah, but I'll say that this is something that is really a time suck for me as well, is if there's something that I know I can kind of do, you know, like, and I've seen some of our pros internally getting ready for demos and they'll just take forever. Like literally devote themselves forever to do something that they're not that great at. You know, like graphics, like someone will do their one, absolutely insist that they do their own graphics for a demonstration or for a product or for a test. When, you know, I mean, it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But it'll take them 90 minutes so we could be doing something more productive.
Yeah.
Right? So that's something that they really like to do. It's really a priority to get it done. It's not that good at it. So if that's you, then just recognize it, that you're investing time with money you don't have. You know, you've got to really look at that post-it note with how much you make an hour. Is it better for me to mess around with this for 90 minutes and spend $75 on myself? Or can I get, you know, Coldesi Graphics or someone to do it for half the price?
Yeah, these things I know are challenging decisions to make, because getting that item digitized, especially if it's a pretty large and complex graph, it might cost you $75.
Yeah.
And then now you're like, well, I'd rather pay myself the $75. But if you're not that good at it, and especially if you don't like doing it, then just because you can pay yourself that $75 to do it doesn't mean that it's a good idea.
Yeah.
So hopefully you can, you know, convert that to a D and delegate that out.
Yeah.
But if you cannot, if you literally cannot, and maybe you can't, right? Especially, you know, new businesses, you know, shoestring budgets, you know, things like that. You just can't, you got to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the frog you eat.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. You get your coffee, you open that up, you digitize it, you get it done. And hopefully, you know, by lunchtime, the whole job's done. You've digitized it. You've sewn it out. You've completed the task. And then now you can do the other things in the day that you're maybe more excited to do. Maybe you like doing marketing and you like sales and you like making sales calls and things like that. That's the fun part for you. And then you did that production stuff in the beginning that you really didn't like. And then what we described kind of before the podcast, I said, the goal then would be that you don't like doing it. You're having to eat this frog every day. And the best way to get rid of that, the best thing you can do is to not have to ever eat a frog, right? That would be wonderful. So you get your bit, you do your best to do everything you can to get your business where you can always delegate that out. And that means making more sales, being profitable, doing all the things we talk about in the podcast. You do all of those things to get to the point where you never, your frogs are very little. They're very little frogs you're having.
They're tofu frogs.
They're tofu frogs. So
you go down easy. You don't feel guilty. Like
the Haribo about eating them. Gummy.
You don't have to wonder what happens to the rest of the frog.
You know what? Right. There's somebody who's out here listening to this right now that goes frog gigging and likes eating frogs.
I knew you were going to bring up frog gigging.
So, for you, you have to pick a different thing to eat. Maybe tofu for you.
If you're not from Florida, you may have to Google frog gigging because I don't know. I think that's just a cracker activity.
Yeah, well, I think it rolls through all the Gulf Coast.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Hey, listen, I do want to, before I forget, I want to point out and maybe introduce you guys to this one concept of kind of economic cost. So it's the idea that if you are going to spend, let's say, $50 worth of your time to do something, then not only are you accomplishing that task and spending that $50, but you're also not doing something with that time.
Yeah.
That was also worth $50. So you're $100 in. So every time, when Mark and I spend an hour doing a podcast, that's 2 hours we're investing in doing this. We could have been doing 2 hours worth of other productive things. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you're investing 4 hours, if that makes sense.
I see where you're going with that concept. Okay. I like it. I also, there's, it can have even further ramifications because if you're looking at your list and your tasks and all these things, and one of them is to make sales calls and you don't like doing that, so you procrastinate on it and you avoid it and you don't eat the frog first, but you procrastinate your sales calls. You do other things. You don't delegate something because you're still trying to procrastinate that frog that you got to eat. Then the thing that $50 example could have been a sales call that earned you $1,000.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
So, and then you get into the trap, where you that hour. Well, it's going to cost me $50 to get that digitized. Okay, if you don't want to spend the $50 on getting that digitized because you fear you can't afford it.
Yeah,
and maybe you almost can't because you're really new. Speaking really to the startup here, like the hardcore startup, you almost feel you actually can't afford it. You will lose money on this job. Okay, so then the exercise I would say to force yourself to do is then don't digitize it and try to make another sale in that time frame.
Yeah,
if it's going to take you, how long is going to take you to digitize a left chest logo, sew it out, fix it, sew it out, fix it. You're going to at least spend an hour minimum, bare minimum.
Yep.
What if you took that hour and you made 10 phone calls or took that hour and emailed a bunch of people? I mean, we've talked about a bunch of different ways to sell. You make phone calls, you email people, you reach out to people on social media, you test out some marketing that you want to do. You create some ads, you write an article for somebody, you write a blog post for somebody, you write an article for the local paper to talk about apparel, all these things that you can do that can earn you business, do that instead. And you're going to make, you will make money that way.
And I love this idea because you know, if you think about it, the more of your day, the most profitable thing you can do is spend your whole day on A's, right? On A's. Like if all the things that are on your to-do list, if you only had to do the top A that you enjoy and are good at, that mm-hmm. would probably be an ideal business for you.
Yeah.
It's probably why you started the business. You know, if you want to get to the point where all you do is weed vinyl all day,
mm-hmm.
you know, then cool. Like you have to go through these other steps to get to, you know, your whole day is nothing but A's.
Yeah. And there's a Dirty Head song. It's a band.
Okay. And I was hoping.
Famous. They're mildly famous, but one of their lyrics is, "I'm on vacation every single day because I love my occupation."
Yeah.
Right. And actually, the lyric actually starts with A. So it's
kind of, don't sing.
It does no. start with that.
We're going to have to. What are we at? We're at like 57 minutes. We're going to have to cut that out.
Maybe that's what they were talking about. But actually, does say A, you know, and then so, and that's true, right? So that's hopefully another thing that you're going to do with this is that you use this exercise to you eat the big frogs first. You try to remove all the things you don't like doing and only do the things you're good at. And then eventually, hopefully the dream is you get yourself to a point where you're on vacation every day because all you're doing is what you love. You love the digitizing portion of it. You think it's fun. You think it's interesting. You love the art. You love taking something from your mind to an embroidery machine. That's what you end up doing. And the rest of the business.
I can't believe we started off this episode talking about eating frogs and we end up with paradise. I think that's amazing. All you have to do is eat enough frogs.
Yeah.
To get your prints.
Yeah. So I'd say we can wrap this up, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
The homework that we're gonna say, the takeaway on this is tomorrow, Monday, whatever day you're working next, make a list of your tasks and try to grade them A, B, C, D, E. And maybe at the end of the day, you kind of go through that and write what you actually did and grade those. And then maybe on a 1 to 5 scale, 1 being you love it, 5 being you hate it, rate grade all those, and then rate how good you feel you are at them. 1 being okay, 5 being great. And then you take a look at that and think about that, right? And just ruminate on it a bit. And then the second thing is, I guess maybe it should have been the first one, but after you write everything down, find out which one's the frog and do it first.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. And definitely the end of the day thing as well. And we're going to put the link to the Brian Tracy. It's pretty good, you know,
free. I didn't even know it was free now.
You know, these older books, you have to look for the PDF. You have to, they're all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. This is a nice little one that you can read that all these little business books and idea books and, you know, all these things, time management books are all little great things that what do they say that CEOs always read a bunch of books?
Yes, they do.
I don't, I think it's a lie, but I think they buy a lot of books.
That's great.
But I will say that I read a reasonable number of books and articles. And I find that when I do that, I'm able to take a lot of little knowledge and put it into a package that fits me. So I think this would be one to add to that list of something to read.
I like that. And by the way, that's only happening because you're 40 now. Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for listening today. As always, do us a favor and share the podcast with somebody that you think would be interested. Join the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group. Visit coldessie.com and coldmanandcompany.com and buy something. This has been Mark Stevenson from Coldessie.
And this has been Mark Vila.
You guys have an amazing business.